Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber, the Tortoise Shack's continual coverage of General Election 2020. And I have to tell you, it's only 3 and a bit days or 4 days gone, Martin, and I'm already giving up on this whole thing. Quick thing, guys. Tickets are flying, actually. That's great. January 26th, Sunday evening, we're going to go big on the general election. Wiley Fox, our second home. Rory, Rachel, myself, Martin, we'll all be there with a big lineup. Rory's working his ass off on this. Martin is actually working his ass off on this. This is the one I'm kind of sitting a little bit out on myself because I think I'm just worn out at this stage. But get your tickets. You'll see the links. They're on Eventbrite. You get 20% off if you head over to Patreon. I think that's a big plug for the old Patreon. Martin, where are we?
Okay, where are we going? Well, first, Paddy Hoolan has screwed it up for the Shinners. Next you have Leo Varadkar is very disappointed that nobody's bringing up Brexit. You have Pat the Cope Gallagher is saying that a Sinn Féin coalition with them is possible. And on top of that, we have chaos, mayhem, murder and mutilation across Dublin. And up in Drogheda. This is, as a backdrop to an election, it's unbelievable. There's two more people shot in Ballymun, or they're saying it's St. Margaret's now.
It's a couple of miles from where we're sitting, Martin.
Is it the case that everybody has taken their eye off the ball? Is it that the self-proclaimed party of law and order is not really keeping a hold on law and order? But people are afraid to come out of their houses. And I know that's a fact. They are afraid to come out of their houses. Drogheda is now a no-go area.
That's unfair. Drogheda is not a no-go area. There are parts of Drogheda that are obviously having difficulties caused by a small number of people. But when they're actually going to the level where, as you said, mutilation is taking place and life is so cheap now. Life is so cheap now where it's just the guns are, there was a shooting in Darndale yesterday. We're really struggling to see, as you said, the party of law and order. It's been, general elections take the format of what the events are. You know, events, dear boy, events. And the events have been absolutely terrible in terms of what's happened in terms of crime and what's happened in terms of homelessness. And we're in the cycle now. And I think the electorate are starting to understand that, you know, this is what happens when we under-resource things. This is what happens when we work for the for-profit model. I actually think it's starting to mediate. I'm hearing it more and more in the media, actually, which heartens me a little bit, that we're seeing questions being put to the Taoiseach. And I will say, I think now the man needs to be benched. He's actually he is the weakest link. Goodbye.
Yeah, but if they bench, I mean, they benched Owen Murphy, they benched Owen.
But they'll bring them back out now and let them go to bat for a while. I genuinely think that even Owen Murphy, who knows his numbers, even though I disagree with the numbers, he knows how to fill the space with believable, like his brother's a reasonable actor. Owen's not a bad actor. But the Taoiseach 1000 has absolutely nothing going on behind those eyes, and he's just, you know, it's coming off badly. You have to go back to the Paddy Hoolan thing. This see, now Sinn Féin are going to discipline him. He did top the poll in the locals, so they're in a conundrum there in what you do. And this is a political decision. Don't make no mistake. They're under pressure there to react. What he has said is abhorrent. He said his apology is a non-apology. Apology wasn't accepted. It was accepted by the Taoiseach himself, which was, and some of the comments were directed at him, which I actually thought was again, as you know, as it was as a clever political decision, because they know that over the course of an election campaign, these things you use them when they're most profitable. Yes. What we're seeing though, again, and this is what's really pissing me off, is the fact that I don't feel there's enough. Where are the policies from the people? I haven't seen Labour come forward with any real, you know, standing on the plinth saying we're going to build these. I've seen some press releases. Sinn Féin came forward with the most ambitious public housing offering, which is unsurprising given that Owen O'Brien is their housing spokesperson. But I'm not seeing enough from anyone else. Everything is following, they're following Fine Gael around the country, and Fianna Fáil are just happily doing very little and gaining all the plaudits.
Yeah, well, I suppose Fine Gael are the incumbents, Tony. So the pressure, the camera is going to be on the incumbents. They're the ones fighting to stay where they are. I don't go with this 60-40 thing that Ivan Yates has come out with. I think it's much more precarious than that. I think we're only this is day four. Nobody is pulling ahead. Nobody is showing any real mettle. It is all over the place. It's not been a good start for anybody. And I mean that. Not for anybody has been a good start. Maybe next week. See, the 3 weeks is very short. It's very short. You're not going to get that kind of lull in the middle and then a wave at the end. It's now. It's here. So whatever's happening now, it'll carry over into next week, particularly the crime scene, Tony. I mean, it is big, and people need to focus on it. It's a very big thing. I've also seen pensions come to the fore, and they've come to the fore maybe in the last 48 hours. You know, the pension age here is going to be raised to 68. It's atrocious. We should be looking at retiring people at 50 with all the robots and everything that are going to come in the future. We should be thinking long term. No, 68 is not thinking long term. And we got to get people into shorter working lives, not longer working.
We are not hearing much about, you know, the quality of jobs into the future, because we do know that automation is coming, and it's coming in a big way. It's already here. It's replacing jobs. We haven't seen much, but we haven't seen any forward thinking because we work on these electoral cycles, and we're not seeing it from you know, there are policy papers on everything, but there's nothing that's been looked upon. What we do need to see, and I want to push back again, and this conscious of kicking Fine Gael, but it is quite funny that they're trying to fight this election on the basis of hope, and the few hope means for change, and the incumbent is not change.
No.
So I think that's a big misstep in terms of how they've laid their case out. People aren't going to forget about the last 9 years and how they've consistently put market solutions ahead of eradicating or tackling social issues. But I will say then again, most disappointingly for me, is that I'm not seeing the alternative stand up and do enough. Even if it's something as simple as postering, Martin, they're just not organized.
Okay. And I'll put it this way. It might be a crappy slogan, and it is a crappy slogan, but it's the one you're hearing all the time, Tony.
Yeah.
Okay, Fianna Fáil have an Ireland for All, and that falls flat when you say, well, if we get an opportunity, United Ireland, we're not going to go for it. So it's not an Ireland for All. It's an Ireland for anybody you consider within the island. So that's another crap one. But there isn't one on the left that's jumping out at me. There's not.
No.
I mean, even Stop This Shit is a really good, a good slogan, you know.
I like that.
Yeah, but, you know, Stop This Shit. Let's stop this shit. Let's build houses. Let's have a proper health system. Let's not look at things like they're Angola and unfixable. We can fix everything.
Well, again, I suppose the key message for me that we're getting at the moment is that people are holding fire and hoping that in the last week they can make the difference. Look, we'll leave it there for you today. What we have coming up now is a conversation, two interviews again, two female candidates again. And we have a friend of the pod, Saoirse McHugh from the Greens, who is running in Mayo. And it's fair to say I'm quite biased when it comes to Saoirse. I'm a big fan of hers. And we have first-time candidate for Solidarity PVP, Sandra Fay, out in Dublin South West. They both lay out their stall. And you know what, guys? Have a listen.
Couple of big hitters coming in early next week, so keep an eye out as well. We'll have a couple of big hitters for you to listen to as well.
Talk to you soon. Bye bye. We are delighted to be joined on the line by the Green Party candidate for Mayo. And when we say Mayo, it's huge. Yeah, but friend of the pod, Saoirse McHugh. Saoirse, so thank you so much for coming back onto the podcast.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, how are you keeping?
I'm keeping well. I suppose there's a constant feeling of panic. Like, I never thought we'd just be a 3 week election. I thought, oh no, they'll give us 5-6 weeks once they call it. So everything feels a bit tail chasing now. But once you're out canvassing, you know, you feel like you're making progress. It feels good. And like that again, from minute to minute, 1 minute, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get a seat. This is definitely it. We're going to, you know, storm home. And then other days, I'm like, nobody's heard of me. This is a disaster. Why am I wasting these 3 weeks when nobody has heard me?
And it's,
but
it's,
that's just moodiness, really.
It's a difficult time for you as well. You had some flooding in your home place on Ackle last week during the storm. So you're still dealing with that and out canvassing at the same time. That's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, well, we've kind of just abandoned the mess from the flooding. And suppose we'll deal with that in 3 weeks.
You know, so can I ask you? You went through the MEP, the election, the rigmarole, the PR, the dealing with people like us. What convinced you that you're going to have a go then to go into the running the generals?
Do you know, I think it's a bit like, you know, like people talk about childbirth. They say during it, they think never again. And then a few months later, they're like, geez, that wasn't so, but that was kind of nice. Like, I've definitely had conversations with people since the MEP campaign where I was like, oh yeah, it was great crack, you know, it was really fun to do. It's like I just totally forgotten all the time I spent crying and panicking and up till all hours, you know, trying to reply to emails and stuff like that. I suppose, more seriously though, I think that I was surprised, and I think that a lot of people were surprised by the vote I got in the European elections, and I figured that even if I don't get a seat, it's worth, you know, putting myself forward as an option in Mayo, even if it's just that I know that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will maybe slightly worry about it.
You know, I think they'd more than slightly worry about you. You had a good showing in the European elections. You have a big profile down there. I think they'd be more than slightly worried. How are you getting on with the canvas?
Good now. Like, you know, obviously it's a hard time of year to canvas. Like, we just, you know, we keep having shelter from hailstorms. And it's quite, you know, there's very little daylight. But most people, I suppose people are either positive or disinterested generally. Mm. As in, maybe they're, you know, too busy.
We're finding that speaking to people that it's a 3 week, you know, people will engage more in the last few days. Can I ask though, you're running obviously on, you know, on a green agenda. That you're quite to the left of even to some of the green agenda within your own party. What are your plans if you were elected?
Well, I would love to see, I suppose to frame this, I suppose I see a lot of the problems with the environment are the same problems that we have across all other sectors, like the same problems in health, the same problems in housing, the same problems in, you know, approaches to rural development, and that problem is, of course, putting profit ahead of public services or public goods or people or the environment. And I, you know, I think that's that same attitude is what underlies a lot of our environmental problems. So on that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to see food be recognized as maybe a department or have a head of food in each department, so we can refocus our agriculture, so we can have local food consumed locally where farmers don't have to worry about what the market in China or Libya is doing, and they don't have to make a choice between biodiversity and feeding their family. Mm. Like, all it takes in so many of these things is a value shift. So if we just say, right, well, we actually value biodiversity, or in housing, instead of valuing kind of maintaining this, I suppose, market-based approach to public services.
Profit motive, Saoirse.
The profit motive.
Yeah.
But if we just change our values and say, well, actually, no, we value people having a home, regardless of whether they, you know, some weird, do they deserve a home? Have they worked enough? Are they, you know, do they use drugs? Like, people need a home. And the same with health. You know, we can't keep saying, well, how can we make money out of this? We shouldn't have to rely on agencies.
Mm.
You know, we have a public service. So I suppose what I would try and do, or what I would do, would be bring that forward. And the idea, I think, that things can be different now, especially in Mayo. Like, we've had, I think it was the 50s or the 60s since there was someone else elected. So we had Jerry Cowley a few years ago, and then before that it was the 50s or 60s before there was someone non-Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. And what I'd really like to kind of demonstrate is that things can be different, both politically, but also, like, you know, we don't have to just have the same votes or have the same politicians just because we get a road. You know, we can't, like, we don't have to be bribed with our own money anymore.
So,
but it will need, like, okay, well, what do we want? as a community. And I figure as well, like, even if I don't get a seat, just being able to knock on doors and start people thinking about, right, where do we want to be in 20 years, you know, or 50 years, or I think that has value too.
And we do have a deadline on climate, on catastrophic climate change, and that deadline is very close. So this government is going to be a pivotal government on getting to grips with climate change. Do you have any hope if it's a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government?
I suppose, honestly, I don't have much hope. Now, I'll keep hope. You know, I'll hope that they wake up one day and they're like, oh my God, I have a revelation. There are things more important than profit. But I wouldn't be, I definitely wouldn't be banking on it. But on that 10-year thing, you know, it's not like that after 10 years we all just give up. Like, and thanks to shifting baseline syndrome, we're always going to think, oh, things can always get worse, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't have a huge amount of hope. What I do think, though, might be interesting, because I saw a piece there by The Times saying, like, is a grand coalition what we need? And while I don't think it's what we need, I think what it might do is finally reveal that they are basically the same party.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that might give space for an actual opposition, you know?
It's been a feature of this election, which has been very disappointing in terms of the framing, in terms of it just being like Micheál versus Leo, and the two guys standing at the front with as if they get, and they get to pick their dance partners. If the numbers allowed at the end of this election, would you be interested in looking at some sort of left unity government?
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. It'd be class. I was thinking, you know, even if the numbers don't allow, say Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael do go in together. What I was thinking, and this is like, this is just me thinking it. Obviously, I might just be laughed out of the place if I came up with this and I got a seat. Would be, why don't we just go around and start? And I was actually thinking that it could be something that could be done anyway, like by maybe Yi or something. You know, have a podcast with, this is the, you know, aspirational shadow cabinet, and just start a shadow cabinet anyway, a cross party left shadow cabinet, because as it stands we don't have real opposition.
Well, that's a long-term dream of mine, where I was able to say X is going to be the shadow minister for housing, and X, so yeah, absolutely, I'm on board. Sign me up.
Cool. And like, because I think it'd be brilliant, because what was I watching the last day? I don't know, was it the radio or was it Prime Time or something, and someone said it's something about the government of Fianna Fáil and the opposition.
Yeah,
okay, so we all know.
Yeah,
But even just in what it would do, I suppose, to the way people think, because, you know, there's no point in having six different, you know, spokespeople on housing.
We're not going to keep you much longer. The message for your constituency, your constituents, why should they vote for you? What do you want to say?
Oh, these things always sound so naff. I suppose what I have been saying is things can be different in Mayo. Like, it doesn't have to keep going this way, down this kind of route of last one out, turn off the light. And it can be different in a really positive way, and climate action can be really positive. And we can start, you know, where a county, and of course, you know, a country further than that, where everyone has a home, and where everyone has access to locally grown good food, and everyone has access to healthcare, and, you know, nobody, be it because they have, you know, disabilities, or because they are, you know, they moved to Mayo because they're a migrant into Mayo. Can you have migrants into Mayo? Like, nobody should be undeserving or left out of societies. And I think, you know, that can be done.
Absolutely.
That's so easy to do. But it will just take people deciding, like, okay, well, we're going to take a gamble and try something different, and things can get better.
Saoirse McHugh, we are great in this podcast not having any, not having to balance ourselves with all the other nonsense. So all I'd say is, if I had a vote down there, I'd vote for you.
Yeah, I have to say, I would too. Of course I would.
So, thanks a million.
Saoirse, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it, and the best of luck over the next couple of weeks.
Cheers. Thank you so much.
We're delighted to be joined on the line by Solidarity candidate for Dublin South West, Sandra Fay. Sandra, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
No, look, I mean, you are not your typical candidate. I when we were speaking, I asked you, were you out canvassing this morning like the lads standing by the Lewis? And you said, what did you say to me, Sandra?
No, I was in the classroom teaching this morning.
Yes.
I was carrying out my full-time job that I normally do.
And at the teaching end, are you seeing the rough end of society now with children coming in who are in homeless accommodation and things like that in school?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely awful. But we still have a mentality of covering it up. Let's not talk about it. Let's not do the statistics that many of our children are living in homelessness.
And it's
the most published was that a classroom a day in Ireland are becoming homeless. And I think it's really stark. I had Peter McFerrin at the school there last year, and 500,000 people are living in distressed homelessness. So it's the modern day mental health crisis being created for the future. We've had the past, you know, where we had Magdalen laundries, workhouses, and now we're putting families in hubs, locked away from the community, and just really, really distressed living circumstances that has long-term effects. And that's just what capitalism breeds, because it puts profit first ahead of the communities and ahead of the needs of family and society. And for too long, we've been listening that there can be no change. We have had Fianna Gael, Fianna Fáil again and again. And I want to appeal to the 50, even 60% of people who are not voting. We need your vote, because there is a difference, and we have to cut across the absolute lies that there's no other alternative. And that's why I'm running on a ticket to say there is another alternative, not another government, another system, where it'll put the workers at the helms of that and the power. And we've seen it in the water charges, and we're getting a glimpse in France at what the workers can achieve when they really, really mobilise and they have a clear programme of what they want in place, that we have to go the full way of looking at people's needs and looking at really, really putting people in charge, as opposed to a debate that's going to come our way. Do you want Fianna Gael or Fianna Fáil? Well, we know the vast majority of people are not voting and they don't want either.
Look, you've given us a fairly good answer to why you actually care about running. It's fairly clear. That's one of our generic questions that we're asking on these. But what are if you're elected, what are your plans then?
My plans is exactly like my colleagues who've been elected again ahead of me. You know, Ruth Coppinger, Mick Barry, even as long as Joe Higgins. What we're about is, people will say, are you going to go into power? But they contradict themselves as well, because it's just so, when you've got mass media telling you there's no choices, and all people think about is people being in power of us, when it should be the people in charge. And so what we do is we'll use this as a platform to mobilise people. Like, who really was at the helms of achieving the biggest victory in history at the moment, which was the repeal referendum? Was people mobilising on the streets? And we have to say, Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil, for the vast majority of the time, was against repeal. And it was the people who pushed it and pushed it and pushed it, and again and again, and wouldn't let the agenda go away, who achieved the water charges to stop the privatisation of our water. It was the people. And always, everything we've ever fought for, anything, workers' rights, pensions, anything, all throughout our history, it's never been given to us. It's been won. And what we're saying is, at some stage, we have to stop fighting and realising that we are the power. And it's very adamant that we just came out of the 1919, because it was the history of the only time in Ireland that we had a Soviet in Limerick, where the workers took charge. And there's too many lies acting like that. We have to arrive to work every day and don't have a democratic say in how the workplace runs. But we're bossed around. You go into school and it's the same sort of mentality of that you're there and you're told what to do and this is what you learn, but no real, real democratic inputs into your everyday life. People don't. And this farce that the general election every 4 years, I think the famous Pat Rabbiters, isn't that what we do, lie in elections? And it's the truth, they lie in elections. So we use it as a platform to say, you are the change, and we can't change without you. We want to mobilise and work with the struggles and the movements. I want to work not with people in the Dáil that are there. I don't want to work with Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil. They've shown me what they can achieve, and Labour, and anyone willing to tinker with this system. I want to work with the 50% of people who are saying nothing will change. Because they're right, nothing will change, no matter who power shares with Fianna Gael or Fianna Fáil after this general election. But everything can change, and Bernie Sanders has shown it. with the vast amount of ordinary people getting up and mobilising and talking about socialism, a different system is possible. And if they can achieve and start talking about that in the belly of the beast, well, we can, by God, we can do it here. And that's what happens. And it will have a snowball effect across the world, as we've seen in England as well. It was very unfortunate that Corbyn didn't go far enough. He wasn't talking about breaking with capitalist Europe, who implemented austerity across Portugal, Ireland, Spain and Greece. So we have to be putting a clear programme. There's no shortcut. We are the power and we are the future, despite Leo's crass, you know, political campaign slogans. It's the people who are the actual future, and nothing will change regarding people's daily working circumstances. People who are on median wages in this country can't afford a rent, can't afford childcare, do not get medical care. Medical care is for profit. And so when are we going to say enough is enough, that we have to look at an 8-year-old woman last night exploding across social media, eating off the side of a windowsill?
That's
it,
right.
Was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And 2 deaths in the last 2 days. Which just, one death and an almost a life injuries to another homeless man. And I want to just be clear to people, I feel so sorry for the worker that was in that position, because we know it's government policy to take away whatever little belongings these poor homeless people have, to clear away their tents and pretend it's not happening. But we know it's happening because 500,000 people are living in distressed housing, so they can't cover up.
Sandra, just going to ask you, if the numbers stack up after this election, will Solidarity work with other parties on the left? If the numbers stack up and there's an opportunity, will they work with other parties self-declared on the left now? And that's a broad spectrum.
Thanks. I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah, it's a broad spectrum.
So exactly,
of people.
As I said, every other party by ourselves and people before profit are willing to power share with the parties who are implementing all of what I just talked about. So would we work with somebody who's willing to implement homeless crisis, private healthcare, you know, education that people can't afford on the median or minimum wage for their children? Absolutely not. Because, as I said, who are we going to work with? There's 50% of the population who are not voting. And they're not voting because they know that none of that will not bring about change. And even the other 30% who are voting are trying to vote tactically and say, how best can I vote? We want to work with the people and we want people to feel empowered. We will allow another self-declared left government come to power. But Sinn Féin have self-declared. They have implemented austerity in power up in the north. They are in power across councils across Ireland, they were, and didn't make any significant change. So we can't sow disillusions in them, because people will associate us with them. We have to say to people, they're willing to share power with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. They're telling you that. So you've tried and tested that with everybody from Progressive Democrats to, you know, the Labour Party to the Greens. You've tried it. Let's try something different where you're going to take power, where we're going to build movements and we're going to force change and we're going to look at a real future and look at breaking with this system. But again, to answer you, we will let them come to power, but we will tell people, prepare yourself for the failure, because if they're prepared for the failure, they'll know what comes next. It's we take power, the ordinary people in our communities and in our workplaces, because that's who runs society on a day-to-day. And we have to get that message across. We run society. We've seen Spain had no government for a long time. They ran society. The North, no government, run society. We have to realise we are the power and we are the change. And that message is really starting to resonate with people across the world. And Ireland's going to be no different. We know the vast amount of young people are watching American politics and they're behind Bernie Sanders. And they need to know that somebody here is willing to do the same. And I say that's the socialist fighters like Ruth, like Mick. And as I said, the only other people that we believe that are willing to break with capitalism is people before profit. And that's what's needed.
Thanks very much for having this chat with us, Sandra. We wish you the best of luck for your election campaign. I know it's hard when you're working full time as well. So the very best of luck with that.
Sandra, I have to say, I admire that you're in the teaching profession and that you care so much clearly about your community. It comes across in spades, and I hope the constituents will actually hear that, because I know I certainly picked up on it. Thank you so much for your time.
I'd just like to say something, clarify something there. Just to be clear, as of Monday, I'm taking an unpaid leave because it's impossible to run in a snap election, and my family and friends and community are going to step up and, you know, help me pay for the bills to keep the roof over my head, which is absolutely, absolutely I'm so grateful to them because I don't take any donations from any corporation. So we only rely on the community and people, and I wouldn't be able to take that unpaid leave. And only the rich could run in elections, but I've never taken unpaid leave before. But with a snap election, it's everything to fight for, and I'm going to put my all into it.
Well done, Sandra.
I want to thank the community for that.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Thanks and best of luck.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening. Please do check out our other podcasts, Reboot Republic, Disturbing the Peace. And if you like what you hear, please support it. We will not be here in 3 months' time if we don't get people to help make this viable. Head over to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. The price of a cup of coffee a month keeps us going. Thank you. Bye-bye.